Now let's talk about some of India's key economic reforms, many of which started in the early 1990s. For the most part, these reforms liberalized markets and helped India grow. One part of these reforms included a significant cut in tariffs. So, for instance, at the time of 1991 to 1992, the average tariff rate was over 72%. That's quite high. By the time the mid-90s roll around, that rate has gone down to about 24%. There's also an economic concept called the effective rate of protection, which has to do with how much tariffs really matter. And from the period 1960 to 1985, this rate was remarkably high when Indians tried to buy intermediate inputs to help their businesses. The rate during that period averaged about 147%. And of course, that's a considerable disincentive to starting or expanding an enterprise. During this time, it also became much easier to spend foreign exchange on inputs, although note, some of those reforms had already been started in the 1980s. The whole idea of Made in India as an explicit goal of economic policy very much moved to the background. India was moving to freer trade, and it was becoming a closer and more integrated part of the global economy, also with respect to foreign investment. The Indian reformers also dismantled a lot of the country's earlier industrial policy. So before the early 1990s, 18 industries were considered more or less the sole province of the public sector, and a lot of those industries were quite important, including iron and steel, heavy plant and machinery, telecom, minerals, oil, mining, air transportation, electricity, and insurance. By the time the reforms were over, there were pretty much just three sectors left, which were then considered the more or less sole province for public activity, and those had to do with defense, nuclear energy, and rail. FDI was liberalized. That stands for foreign direct investment. So it now was the case that 100% foreign ownership was to be allowed, although not for every sector, not for banks, telecom, insurance, and airlines. Banking was another area that started to see some significant changes. Among the new policies were removing interest rate controls, easing licensing for foreign exchange, raising capital requirements for banks so they would be safer. But keep in mind, the banking sector as a whole, that even today in India, most banks are still public sector entities, so there was some liberalization in this sector, but it was within the context where most of the banking sector remains state-owned. There was also an entire set of macroeconomic reforms, which were more or less forced on India by a financial crisis. Those involved the budget and exchange rates, among other features, and we'll be covering those separately. Perhaps most importantly, these reforms involved a new vision for India and a new sense of what the Indian economy would be. That is, more globalized, freer, more liberalized, and moving away from earlier notions of five-year plans and industrial policy. But that said, keep in mind, while these reforms were quite significant, there are still very large parts of the Indian economy which have very heavy levels of regulation, price controls, bureaucracy, and are subject to burdens and taxes from corruption. So it's hardly the case that these reforms brought India to being any kind of free market economy. That simply didn't happen. For further reading in this area, here are some good sources to start with. They're online, and also you can Google any of the basic terms in the areas we've been discussing. The references in these two pieces also are extremely useful. I would recommend some of the other videos, in particular the one on India's growth inflection, to get a better understanding of just what these reforms did and did not manage to succeed with.